This week on the Auto Trader Podcast.
But then you can see the inklings of Chery's design over there. The slim headlights, massive grille, and then just imposing stance, as we can see. And this is the hybrid version that's going to be coming to South. It's earmarked for here, along with the Tiggo 9. So this hybrid also, 1.5 liter turbocharged. And this one with the... This is actually going to be one of the most powerful Chinese cars that's coming out at the moment. Welcome to another fabulous episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. And we have some things to talk about today in the Changing Tides episode. My name is Tayem Biri. I'm your host. And I'm here with the Fast Man, as well as a person who could actually do a pretty good James Bond, Mr. Sean Nurse. How are you doing?
Good, and you, Tay. Good to be back on the podcast, man.
Oh, yes. Welcome, man. So we got quite a bit to talk about today. So let's get into the segments. So we have Hot or Not, where we're going to be discussing Suzuki overtaking Volkswagen in new car sales. Ooh. And then we're going to look at Chery showing at the Auto China Expo, which happened fairly recently. Moving on to Yes But No, the fall of the hot hatch, the Polo GTI. And then the million rand bucky, the Suzuki 8, no, not Suzuki, sorry, Isuzu AT35. That's another big one that's coming through. And then finally, Heat Seekers, we're going to be talking about our dear colleague, Chad Lukoff's run in the Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG up Simola Hill Climb. Stay tuned for that. So, Sean, let's begin with Hot or Not. This is a really huge one, and it's something that has really caught the ears and eyes and brains of everyone in South Africa, that Suzuki overtook Volkswagen this last month in new car sales alone. So Volkswagen is in third, Suzuki's in second, first being Toyota. Now, that's massive, man. What happened there?
I think it's way bigger news than I think a lot of people take it, you know, at face value to be. It's a signal of a change in the automotive industry within South Africa. It's something that's been happening at a very slow rate over the past few months. We've seen Suzuki catching Volkswagen.
I mean, I even own one.
You own one, exactly. I own a Suzuki as well.
One of us.
So we've drank the Kool-Aid, but it doesn't come down to brand favoritism. It comes down to your wallet at the end of the day, right? If you look at the 24 cheapest vehicles listed for sale at the time of recording of this podcast, of the 24, 13 were Suzukis. And another six of those were rebadged Suzukis. So it tells me that Suzuki are really good at making affordable cars. And with consumers tightening their belts and ever-increasing costs of living, a brand that offers good quality value for money budget cars is going to do well within the local market. And now we're seeing the fruits of Suzuki's labor over the past few years. And they are now officially the second best selling automaker in South Africa, which is massive for them.
I mean, especially when you're conquering the 200,000 to 400,000 rand mark when it comes to new cars. Like, if you've got that segment dialed in and you're producing products that are not only fitting to people's wallets, but also good value for money, you know, it's not, you know, cheap and nasty. It's good cars.
Absolutely. I mean, Suzuki, they're renowned for reliability. Look, not all of their cars are the greatest thing. I don't like an espresso. But things like the Solario, it's a good little budget car. Jimny's a really cool little off-roader. They've got the Fronks now, which, I mean, they literally can't keep up with the
demand. Such a nice surprise, yeah.
Yeah, what a nice little car. And they're all underpinned by solid platforms, really efficient engines, and they just don't seem to break. They've got the right recipe at the moment.
I mean, that's for certain also. And I think a lot of people are going to be pretty upset at the fact that it beat the near and dear Volkswagen as well. You know, it's interesting. It's a change of tides, as this episode is aptly named. But it just shows this is what the people are after.
Well, you know, Volkswagen, I think the brand themselves are aware of it. And they're in the process of rectifying this. They are going to start producing an affordable small crossover in South Africa. I think they do realize that their pricing has gotten a bit crazy, which we'll address later on when we speak about Polo GTR.
But get ready for that.
Get ready for that segment. But I think that they are in the process of addressing it, but they're going to have to sit through a bit of pain now, obviously, with people like us speaking about them being dethroned by Suzuki. Remember, this is only 1 month. So this might not be the way it is going forward, but it has been trending towards this for many months. Yeah. So I would not be surprised if Suzuki continue to take second place every month. Because no one's catching Toyota. They nearly double what Suzuki sold last month. They're over 8,000 units versus 4,500 for Suzuki, something like that. So, yeah, no one's catching Toyota, but Suzuki, yeah.
Yeah, they're on the mark. I mean, they even hosted Somola Hill Climb, which we will get into a little bit later.
There's a lot of segues in this podcast. I like it. It's almost like we planned it or something.
Oh, yeah. Almost. But terrible segue now. But let's actually chat about Auto China Expo quickly. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to that show for unforeseen reasons. But from what was shown over there, so Chery showing, because that's who I was supposed to go with. The basic theme of the show was new era, new eco, new energy. So focus on new energy vehicles. And some of the stuff that came up. So what's confirmed for South Africa, first and foremost, is we already have the Jaico J7. And that's your urban off-roader SUV. But we have a plug-in hybrid version that should be coming in fairly soon. And check the power figures on these. So 1.5 liter turbocharged engine. It seems that's a staple coming out of China. 225 kilowatts and 525 newton meters out of a 1.5 liter turbo engine.
So it's impressive. The Chinese product assault on South Africa has been incredible. They're just releasing. Yeah. I mean, look at that Jaico. Look at that thing.
It looks pretty rad, and it actually looks capable as well.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a Range Rover, but I think that it was pretty much modeled on on a Range Rover. I think the production facility where it's built at used to build Range Rovers, as far as I'm aware. A little birdie told me.
Oh, yeah. Little birdie told us indeed. Then moving up on the scale, we have the Jaico J8. Now, this is the best image we could get of the Jaico J8, but it's basically, think a Tiggo 8 Pro, slightly longer, slightly larger, slightly higher. But then you can see the inklings of Chery's design over there, the slim headlights, massive grille, and then just imposing stance, as we can see. And this is the hybrid version that's going to be coming to South. It's earmarked for here, along with the Tiggo 9. So this hybrid also, 1.5 liter turbocharged. And this one with this is actually going to be one of the most powerful Chinese cars that's coming out at the moment. So we are looking at the likes of, I believe, 400 odd kilowatts and 900 newton meters in an SUV like that. Can you imagine that?
It's pretty wild. But hybrids, I think I've been waxing about this for a while now, that hybrids are really the future for us in South Africa, because I don't think full electric driving in our immediate future is a reality. But the adoption of new energy vehicles starts with hybrids. So that's a really good move. And again, look at that thing. I mean, that's what's getting people into the showrooms, right? Because it looks like a very premium product. I mean, I'm yet to really experience them properly, but they seem to be pretty good and they're really well priced. So,
and not even just that, the range, the claimed range is for the plug-in hybrid. So the Chery Tiggo 9, which also came out recently at that Auto China show, was the range for that is earmarked at 1,200 kilometers. So even it's the same with the Jaico J7 as well, is that they trying to go for that 1,200 kilometer mark in terms of range. And I sit there and I think they're really hot on the tails of what, let's say, Volvo does with its XC90, where you're using about maybe 5.1 liters per 100 Ks in the Jaico and the Chery, and then it's getting closer and closer to that XC90 fuel consumption where it's almost like 2 liters per 100 Ks. So they're definitely getting there, Chery, I can say for certain.
It's impressive. And I mean, from a local perspective, going back to the sales figures, I mean, Chery were close to cracking top 5 in South Africa last month.
Imagine.
I think Hyundai was 2,150-something units, and Chery was over 2,000 units last month. So they are doing really well within the local market. Like, it's hard to fathom the brand that I encountered when I started this gig in 2012, when they were selling the Tiggo Pro and that Chery QQ. It's hard to fathom that is the same brand that is now selling 2,000 cars a month in South Africa. They have come such a long way.
They've come so far indeed. I remember the Chery J2 swag. Comment if you remember that, people in the audience.
I think our colleague, Mr. Chad Lukoff, has still got some PTSD from his J2 swag experience, to be honest.
But no, they've come really far, I must say. But now, moving on to yes, but no. Sean, you've been cooking on this. I've been cooking on it a little bit as well. You had the Polo GTI, Volkswagen Polo GTI, on test for a week. I drove it for a day going to SA Campfest. And this is basically the only hot hatch in its segment at this point in time. We used to have a lot of hot hatches back in the day, but not as much anymore.
Yeah, it's a dying breed, and that's what we allude to in the segment. And in my road test, I discuss the fact that, you know, the Polo, this GTI, is not really what I'm looking for in a small performance hatch, but there really isn't anything else if you're shopping in the segments. And if you want a super fun little hot hatch, you're going to have to go Suzuki Swift Sport, but it doesn't offer the same level of out-and-out performance as the Polo does. So it really is your only option these days, but it's 550,000 Rand. I don't know how to reconcile the fact that the car is now 550,000 Rand. I know all cars are expensive, but I just, for me, it's
the justification just isn't there.
It's a lot of money for a Polo GTR, regardless of where the industry is. It's just a crazy amount.
I like the term you use for the styling of the GTR, and I agree with it. Efficiently restrained. I love that terminology there. I mean, with how it looks, you'd expect a GTI model to be a bit more radical. But judging from what I can see here, you know, okay, I like the dual tip exhaust, definitely do. And just more the subtle styling elements. But it's erring more into R-line territory rather than this is a GTI, you know?
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with the way it looks. I think it looks just about aggressive enough without looking over the top. And interior too, it's very GTI in its execution.
Yeah.
But this is a small hot hatch. So with the Golf, you expect a degree of, you know, it being mature, grown up. With the Polo, I've always wanted a little bit more fun, a little bit more boy racer character. And this car is very grown up now, which is a good and a bad thing. I mean, you can't really go wrong with it.
Yeah.
But it's just not as exciting as I think it should be.
I came away with that feeling as well when I drove it. I was like, you know, this is cool. It's like a scalpel. It definitely does everything clinically to the T, but it's got so much predictability to it, if I can say.
Like you don't genuinely, like when I had the car on test, I wasn't genuinely excited to drive it every time. Like it's a good car. It's a great car, in fact. I just don't know if it's a great hot hatch. It's not something that makes me super excited at the thought of driving it. And I think that's what small hot hatches should be. I mean, that's what the Fiesta ST did. That was a really fun car to drive, handled beautifully. It was just a fun little car. And to a lesser extent, the Clio at the time, the Renault Clio Sport, previous one was a bit disappointing. But the ones that came before it were exceptional. They were very fun little cars. Mm. But the Polo is a much better daily. It's a much better all-round package. Yeah. It's lacking that final polish to make it a proper hot hatch.
It needs a zing, in a sense.
It needs like a club sport package, like they do with the Golf, where it gets a proper differential, not an electronic one, and maybe some suspension tuning, maybe a slightly lighter exhaust, you know, that type of thing. Maybe they could have done something there, but then it's going to be like 650,000 Rand. And then
take your pick, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's just a shame that it's a dying breed of car, hot hatch, unfortunately.
And I mean, even the Suzuki Swift Sport as well. I mean, in its segment, what else is there? You could maybe argue the Polo Vivo GT, but then it's also so far in between that you look at it and you're like, nah, this is also a different class of car on its own.
Absolutely. So, it's another car that sits kind of by itself, but that is a truly fun little car to drive. Yeah. It just doesn't have the same level of performance as the Polo does, unfortunately.
You expect a hot hatch, to give an analogy or anecdote. You expect it to be as fun as a box of Jack Russells.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something that you can have fun at any speed in. Yeah. And the Polo, because it's DSG and because it's very refined, it doesn't really accomplish that. Yeah. Whereas the Swift is very effective and fun from point to point. Yeah. It handles beautifully and it's quite engaging.
From the word go.
It just lacks the ultimate performance. Look, it's not a slow car by any means, but you can't put it in the same category as the Polo. The Polo is just a faster car, but
that could be a video in the works. Let us know if you want that, ladies and gents.
Polo GTR versus Swift Sport. It'll be a goodie.
Now, on to other things that cost a lot, but are also good for practicality as well. So I had the Isuzu D-Max AT35 recently. So million rand bucky. This goes for 1.1 mil. And you can see it's definitely fit for purpose. You got massive BF Goodrich wheels, flared arches. It's got the boot elements to it for the most part. And everything else in between that you'd expect out of a bucky. Bilstein suspension, lift kit. It's based on a V-Cross, so we know the V-Cross is capable. The D-Max, it's tough as nails, back to bucky basics. But this is the thing, and it's also an issue that I've been having with a lot of buckies. It's like, do you necessarily need to pay a million rand for a bucky? Do you want the utility and the lifestyle and everything? But this is the thing we see in the cars. You can't have it all. So where does it fit within that? Is it Venn diagram or triangle? What's that triangle diagram called again? I forget. Tell me in the comments. Anyways.
But like that's the thing. Maslow's hierarchy of needs for buckies.
Something like that. Let's put it like that. But we've seen other million rand buckies. We've seen the likes of the Ford Ranger. We've seen even Hilux and everything. We know that, okay, fine, things are expensive at the moment. We get that. But where the industry is heading, okay, fine, you can get a single cab for relatively decent price, decently spec'd and all. You actually had the Ford Ranger extended cab as well. But where do you feel, is there actually a necessity for 1 mil buckies?
Well, we live in the era of the million rand bucky, right? So the AT35 is by far not the only product that you can spend your hard earned million rand on in terms of buckies, but it is one of the cooler ones because it looks completely unique with the blistered arches and that bespoke suspension. And it is a fully built up product by Arctic Trucks, and they really know what they're doing. It is more expensive than a product I drove recently, the Ranger Tremor. Which is also great. It's also got some Trek Bilstein suspension and some General Grabber AT3 tires on. So that's also a proper piece of off-road kit. Mm. And the interior even had this, it's like completely wash-friendly. It's like it's completely sealed.
Wash-friendly.
Yeah, so you can hose it down. So it's completely rubberized inside so you can get the car dirty when heading off-road.
That's pretty interesting, actually.
This is the Tremor now, right? So, like, these buckies are really fit for purpose now, these lifestyle buckies. I mean, you're not going to see a guy, like, carrying bricks with an AT35, right? You're going to see him with his jet ski, or he's going to be doing, you know, an off-road trail, something along those lines with his million rand bucky. They've become a lifestyle accessory that you can use for a variety of things. And I think there is definitely a market for it because look at how many Raptors they sell. I mean, they might be ridiculously expensive now, these buckies, but there's certainly people lining up to buy them.
It's true, definitely. And I feel with the AT35, you know, what I felt driving it and all, I'm like, this is definitely fit for purpose. The person who loves serious off-roading and also has the look to go with it, it works for its chops. Let's put it like that. That's one thing I quite like about it. So I guess there could be a justification in that respect. But it's also that thing of how much is a million rand now? You know, we're getting to that point where it's like, I will do this for 1 million rand. And someone in the background says, that's not a lot of money.
It's getting to that point with inflation, man. A million rand is, for us, it's a huge amount of money. It's a huge amount of money. But when it comes to the price of vehicles now, like a million rand doesn't get you what it used to, right? I remember when I joined the industry, there was you get a lot for a million rand, man. Now you're buying a double cab bucky, it's a million rand. So things have changed dramatically. We are nearing the age of the million rand Golf GTI.
Imagine.
And use that as like the Big Mac index for the car industry. Because if the GTI is it's like how much is a GTI in every country? And you can see how much cars have gone up in price. The million rand bucky. It's crazy to say that, but there's so many of them. If you go check out the price list, every brand that does a bucky, a double cab bucky, has a lifestyle option that is nudging $1 million. I see even Mitsubishi launched the Shogun, the Triton Shogun, but I think that's 810,000 rand, but that's
close enough. That's the thing.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, not really on the same level as the AT35. The AT35 is quite a bespoke Arctic Trucks conversion. I mean,
a machine. A
different kettle of fish, that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Raptor, but without a really potent engine.
Hey, that engine is pretty potent, though. 3-liter turbo diesel, 140 kilowatts, 450 nicely. Newtons. It does go, that much I'll say. It's not going to sound the same as a Raptor, but for what it is, for the utility's sake, you know, maybe it could have done with a slightly more power, like bigger power bump, I'd say. But for what it is, and even though it is pulling more tire and all that, it can manage an off-road trail, I'd say.
And what was your fuel consumption, if you don't mind asking?
That was about, yes.
It was yes.
11.9 liters per 100 Ks with me behaving. That's sure. The thing.
You see, with the I found that with that Ranger Tremor too. I was doing 10.8 liters per 100 Ks, and I was driving that thing very gingerly, like doing the daily grind, nothing crazy. And I mean, it crept up a bit when we were doing off-roading. I think it was 11.3 when I went to go and test out the tires and suspension and stuff.
But capabilities.
These Buckies are quite heavy on diesel these days. That's quite 11.9 is heavy, man. Like compared to a Raptor petrol, it's not that heavy. I mean, you're probably looking at 14, 15 liters per 100 Ks in a Raptor quite easily.
Makes you think with this stuff, but here we are. But anyways, on to the last segment for this episode, heat seekers. So our esteemed colleague, Mr. Chad Lookoff, he did Simola incline. Simola hill climb, sorry, in a Mercedes-Benz C63 AMG. The latest one. They actually launched at this event. And when I heard that this thing is 1,000 newtons.
Yeah.
It just made me think. Yeah, 500 kilowatts even. I sat there and I thought, this must be an animal up on the hill. But this is the thing. This man tamed the animal, that is.
He did. He drove exceptionally well. Like, I've driven up the hill before, competed many years ago. It's a very gnarly place to drive up. It's not
perfect.
It's not a walk in the park, that hill. It's quite scary at speed. So I think he did a fantastic job. Did the brand very proud. You can see we've got our Auto Trader sticker on there.
Ta-da!
The first publication to drive that car, which is very cool as well. He did a fantastic time, 45.9 seconds,
jeez,
which is hustling up that hill. That is a very, very fast car. So he was.
Chad is a smooth driver. That's the other thing.
Very
as well.
Smooth. I mean, watching him go up that hill, very smooth. Watching Mr. Clint Weston take that GT63 up there, he was sliding that thing everywhere. I loved it. It was one of the coolest things I've seen.
So beautiful.
Jeez, he was manhandling that car. I loved it. I loved watching. I could watch that over and over.
Now we need to download that clip. That's the order of the day after this episode is done recording.
But as a result of that and their good driving, I think Clint took second overall in the King of the Hill for production cars, standard production cars, which is incredible. I think the only car that was faster than him was a Porsche 992 Turbo S.
Oh, by the way, Clint was in the AMG GT63, right?
Yeah, the SE Performance.
Yes. SE Performance.
That's over 600 kilowatts and 1,470 newtons. That thing is an absolute animal. So he came second in that. Chad came fifth overall in the road car category, which is incredible, right? There's well over 60 people that enter the hill climb in total. So he did exceptionally well. Came second in class only to Clint, who won the A8 category. So they had a fabulous weekend just showcasing the cars are very capable. New AMGs are very fast. Hybrid powertrains and stuff. They're heavy, but they seem pretty capable.
No, pretty potent, I'd say, with that with those kinds of power figures. I mean, even coming back to what we spoke about earlier with the Chery offerings that are coming up soon, Chery Jaiku, and it's nuts how much power these hybrids are producing.
Yeah, it's because they can take an electric motor, which has got this inherent torque, which is available instantly. You combine that with a turbocharged, even a small capacity turbocharged petrol engine, they still produce a lot of torque. And you get these torque monsters, man. Like that C63's got over 1,000 newton meters and over 500 kilowatts in race mode.
Like, a four-wheel drive, though, that's the other thing.
And four-wheel drive. So, I mean, it has to have four-wheel drive. It would just obliterate rear tires if it was rear-wheel drive. But, you know, this 63 is such a controversial car because it ditches an iconic V8. That 4-liter biturbo V8 had a very distinctive sound. It was quite a beast to drive. It was very fun. Slides and slips around everywhere. It was great. Now it's this, what appears to be a very precise, very poised four-wheel drive.
Precision tool.
Very fast precision tool. Like, it's different. And I've driven the GLC that shares the same powertrain in Spain, and I came back with a similar conclusion. Like, you do miss the V8. I mean, there's no getting around it. The V8 is awesome. Yeah. The four-cylinder, this hybrid, it's a faster car. It's a sharper, more precise product. And ultimately, you as the consumer would have to decide which one you prefer. And which one works better for you. But there's no denying the new technology is impressive.
That's a changing tide right there. The age of the hybrids.
The age of the hybrids is upon us.
And on that bombshell, we are going to end today's episode. If you enjoyed this, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and hit that bell notification so you can keep track of every episode and AutoTrader YouTube channel upload and whichever platform you're listening on this for. Now, that's it for now. Thank you, Sean, for coming through, and check you out next time. Easy. Search AutoTrader.